It was about 8:30 this morning, and sitting there on the couch, actually in my unmentionables, if you will, and heard the phone ring, and I told one of my kids to go get my phone. It was in the bedroom, and he said, "I'm like, go get my phone." He ran to get my phone. I said, "Oh, it's Grandma Sue. It's my mother-in-law." I said, "Don't bother." No, I'm kidding. And but luckily, because my mother-in-law, usually it's not a good thing when your mother-in-law calls, you know. But this time she called, and Andrew brought me my phone, and I seen the text from Pastor Tracy saying, "Hey, can you preach for me this morning? I don't feel good." And I said, "Sure, no problem." And then he texts me back, "Well, can you teach my class too?" I said, "Sure, no problem." So it was a fun morning, and from that point forward, it was like, go, 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 amen. But so I wanted to thank my mother-in-law for calling this morning. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have got that text till about 9:30. So that was a blessing right there. But I want to preach a message this morning, and if you will continue, pray for Pastor Tracy and a quick recovery there, and look forward to him getting back in the pulpit quickly. But this morning, if you turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 23, 2 Samuel chapter number 23, this morning I want to preach about a man who was a warrior. And as it is Memorial Day, we think about the men and ladies that have served our country, the warriors that have gone out before us and fought for our freedoms. Amen? I mean, we wouldn't have freedom if it wasn't for them. And can I say, I'm so thankful that they would go out, and the ones that have given their lives so that we can live in America, that we can have freedom to worship, we have freedom to come here today and to preach the Word of God and to sing about our Lord. And I'm so thankful that we have freedom in our country because of the warriors that have fought for us in the past. You know, I think of... just real quick, I know we honor today Memorial Day, we honor those who have fallen, but if you served in any type of the military, any branch of the military, would you stand? Go ahead and stand for me right now if you served. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Amen. Maybe seated. Thank you. Thank you very much for your service. We honor you today and are so thankful for your service to the country and making it possible for this country to be what it is today. Amen. And we're so thankful to have that. But we think of this warrior here today in the Word of God, and he was a great man of King David's army. In fact, he was one of the three mighty men of King David's army. And if you remember back in Chronicles, it talks about these mighty men. And there were 30 of them. And so you can think of these guys as the valiant men. They could do everything better than everybody else. You know, it'd be like the Navy SEALs or the Army Rangers. They were the top guys. They could do it better than anybody else. In fact, over in 2 Chronicles, you find out that they were ambidextrous. They could use their right hand to shoot their bows. They could use their left hand to throw stones. They could do everything. And can I say, I'm pretty good at a lot of things. I'm pretty athletic, you know, hitting, swinging, but I'm right-handed, amen. If I try to do anything left-handed, I look like a girl. I really do. It's horrible. I can't throw a ball left-handed. I can't bat left-handed. I can't do anything left-handed. So I wouldn't qualify, men. But these men, they could. They were the valiant men of war. They were great soldiers. They had the abilities to do things that other men couldn't do. And they could do those things. And in verse number 8, we meet two of these men. It says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time." Here you find out this Adino character, this Adino guy, kills 800 men with a spear by himself. Now, of course, I know the men in here, you know, we like those Rambo movies and the movies like that where one guy will go out and take out, you know, a whole army of people by one man all by himself. But we know that's not real. One man is not going to go out and take out a whole army. But when you have the power of God on your life, you can do all things through Christ. And here we find out Adino goes out and he takes out 800 men. And we see how these warriors, they would not mess around. And then we get to verse number 9. And this is the man I want to talk about a little bit this morning. In verse number 9 it says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite." It's quite a name right there. Could you imagine teaching little Johnny before kindergarten, "Hey, little Johnny, here's how you spell your name. It's Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite." Amen. I mean, one of my kids named Eli, and it seemed like that took forever. Amen. It's just an E, an L, and an I. It's not that hard. Amen. But Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hohite, and what a name he had. And you got to know back then, they would associate people by their name. So in fact, you know, eventually there became too many Eleazars, right? So people would say, or to make it simple, there'd be too many Davids. So one day there were so many Davids, they said, well, you know, a guy was talking and said, yeah, you know David. And they're like, no, I don't. David who? Oh, David the son of you know, John or whatever. Oh, okay, I know David the son of John. And eventually there became too many David the sons of John. So then it became, you know, David the son of John of Jerusalem. And that's why you get this name here, Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Sorry for, you know, being named Dodo, amen. That's a tough one there. He got picked on. But Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. And the point I'm trying to make here in my introduction is, what follows your name? See, people knew who they were back then by what followed their name, just like people know who you are today. That's why we have a first, a middle, and a last name. It helps identify who we are. But I often wonder, what follows our name? What do people think of when they hear your name? What does the world think of? And I don't mean here in church, and I don't mean, you know, around our Christian circles, but when people hear John Smith, what do they think? See, every time someone hears your name, they think of something about you. They think of a character about you, who you are as a person. What do they think about you when they hear your name? When I think of Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, I think of a warrior. You know, your name is very important. You know, it's important to have a good name. In fact, in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So your name follows you even after you're gone. You think of people like Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein. You think of Osama bin Laden, Charles Manson, Timothy McVeigh. When you hear that name, you think about something, don't you? There's something following that name that immediately goes into your mind. You think, what about that person there? Folks, it's important that we have a good name. It's important that we have a good name, not only in the church, but out in the world too. Our friends, our family, they're lost. They're on their way to hell. We have to be that witness. We have to be the light in the dark world. You know, there's a reason that people do not name their children Adolf Hitler, right? In fact, when I read about when they came back over, a lot of the Hitlers actually live in America today, the families and the generations beyond that. They actually live in America today. But when they came over to America, they changed their last name. I don't think you'd want to go sign anything with Hitler, right? I mean, that would be a bad name to have. Why? Because of what somebody in their family did. It's important, your name. It's important you teach your children to carry on that name. It's important that you leave something behind. You know, people want to leave all this good. People want to leave money and leave those kind of things behind for their children and their grandchildren. You know what's more important to leave behind? A good name. Something that means something. Something that will outlast your life. But here we find out that his name is so important. And, you know, large companies will spend millions of dollars, if not billions, the really big ones, in advertising. You know why they do that? Because they want to tell you how their name, you can trust their name better than the other name. Amen? You can trust Coke and not Pepsi. Can I get an amen there? Amen. See, we got about half y'all right with God. Amen. But that's why they spend all that money. Why? Because they want you, their name is great. And you know what happens when you get something bad can happen maybe in the company or something bad happens. They'll spend so much money in telling you, well, that's okay, or trying to change your perception of that company. Why? Because if you don't believe in that company for having a good name, you're not going to buy their product, are you? You don't trust them. See, it's important that we have a good name. In fact, the two most recognized names in the world, does anybody know? McDonald's and Coke. You can pretty much go anywhere in the world, and if you might not speak a language, if you know McDonald's and Coke, they're going to know what you're talking about. And you know why? Because they have a good name. Now we think about this man, Eleazar, the son of Dodo. When I hear his name, I think of a warrior, and I want to preach on why he was a warrior today. But can I say we need more spiritual warriors in our churches today? We need more people to fight for our God. We need more people to fight for our churches and fight for those who are dying and on their way to hell. We need more people ready to fight. That's what I want to preach about this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. Lord God, I need your help this morning as we dive into your word. And Lord, as I preach your word, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the words you want me to preach this morning. Lord God, I need help from on high. And Lord, help us to have open hearts and open ears and let it digest in there. And Lord, help us to leave here better than we were before. Lord, meet with us today. Fill the aisles with the Holy Spirit. Lord, knock on our heart's door and teach us and help us grow in our Christian walk. Lord, there might be one here who's lost and undone on their way to hell. Lord, I pray that they would hear the gospel. They would realize that they're not part of the King's army yet. Lord, they want to get on board. And Lord, that they can know for sure that they can go to heaven when they die. Lord, be with us today. Be with the message. Be with the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look at verse number 9. It says, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines. Now, the Philistines in the Word of God is always a picture of the world. Anytime you find the Philistines, you know that they, you can think of the world, you can think of the worldly standards, you know that they didn't worship God the Father, but they worship other little g gods, they wanted nothing to do with God, and anytime you see the Philistines there in the Word of God, you can picture the world. The Bible says they defied the Philistines. That means to openly resist or refuse to obey. These four men resisted the Philistines. They said, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bend. We're not going to do what you wanted to do. We're not going to follow your guidelines. We don't have to listen to your advice. And can I say, we need more Christians today that want to defy the Philistines. We need more Christians today willing to defy the world. So many people today Christianity so much today is trying to blend with the world. Trying to become one. Well, if we act like the world and we talk like the world and we be like the world, then we can win the world. Let me tell you, church, you win the world by acting like a Christian. You win the world by being different. You win the world by defying the world. You win the world by showing Christ through you. So many times today, we don't want to defy the Philistines. Well, we don't want to be upset. We don't want to make them upset. Folks, we have to defy the world. The world wants nothing more than to bring you down. The devil has one goal, and that is to bring each and every person down in this room. Well, you don't really want to go to church today. You don't really want to serve God. Well, you don't really want to do those things. Young person, it isn't that important to go to church. It doesn't really matter that much. It's all just, you know, we've heard it 100 times. Let me tell you, it matters whether we defy the Philistines. It matters whether we fight against the world today. It matters whether we stand up for what is right and what is in the Word of God. Here they were defying the Philistines. We think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn. Because why? They wouldn't bow. See, I got that order mixed up, but amen, you know what I'm talking about. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn. Amen. Amen, close enough. But here we find out why, because they said, even though everybody else is bowing, everybody else is saying is bowing, they said, we're not going to. I'm not going to bow. I don't care what they say. Why? Because it's not right. Amen. Can I say we need more people today that said, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what Dr. Phil says and Oprah. I'm not going to bend and I'm not going to bow. Amen. So here we find they defied the Philistines. And here we find out after they did that, they defied the Philistines, verse number 9, that were gathered together. Here the Philistines, a type of the world, was gathered together to battle. And in other words, they were of one mind. They had one mind, that was to destroy them. Can I say today that the devil and his troops are of one mind and of one accord? And that goal that they have is of one mind and of one accord, and that's to destroy as many people as possible. If you're lost here today, trust me, when you hear the Word of God preached, when the gospel is laid upon your heart, the devil is fighting as hard as he can to do whatever he can to take that seat. No, you don't need to get saved today. In fact, the Bible says that when the seed is planted and it sits there on that hard ground and you harden your heart and you say, no, I'm not getting saved today, and you harden that heart, that the fowls of the air come and swoop and take that seed away. You know that really happens? I've seen people sit in church and grab the pew in front of them because they're lost and they know it, and they're fighting so hard not to get saved, and they're doing whatever they can not to get saved. And the devil comes there, and that seed is sitting there, and they've heard the gospel, and the devil comes in and says, okay, we'll take that one away again today. Folks, the devil's trying to do, he's united, he's in one accord, he has one mind, and that's to send as many people to hell as he can. Can I say number two, the devil is they're unified in defying every Christian? If he can just get one more to mess up, if he can just get one more to stop serving, if he can get one more to quit going to church, if he can get one more to quit the choir, if I can get one more to quit doing this and quit teaching the class and quit greeting people, boy, another victory. Folks, the devil, he's unified. He's got the troops, and they're ready to pounce. They're gathered together. And can I say, we as believers, we need to be more unified. We need to be more together on the same page, because the devil is. We as believers need to be ready to fight and say, no, we're going to battle together. He might be unified, but we're unified. And guess what? He's greater than they are. We got to have that passion. We got to have that fire. The devil is seeking, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You say, no, I'm too strong for that. No, you're not. No, you're not. Oh, that won't ever happen to me. Yes, it will. Folks, he's trying to do whatever he can. The world is trying to do whatever they can. I'm telling you, you can't even barely watch TV anymore. There's so much junk and filth on that TV. I'm thankful for DVR, amen, just because I can record. I don't really ever watch any live TV. You can record past a lot of that filth, amen. But, I mean, I'm telling you, it's like the world is just trying with our young people and all the shows out today that say it's okay to be a homosexual, it's okay to be transgender. You can't turn on a TV show that doesn't promote it. You know why? Because they're brainwashing the children. You know, you might be starring on it, you might be firm on it, but guess what? If we can raise up a generation that it's all the same, what do you think it'll be like in 20 or 30 years? That's the devil. The troops are unified. Folks, we got to guard against that. We got to guard our children and our grandchildren from the filth of the world. Here they're gathered together, the devil's troops, the Philistines, they were gathered together to battle. And you would think for a moment here, as you picture Eleazar, you picture the nation of Israel ready to fight. You can imagine, the good versus evil. You can imagine, you know, that in our Christian walk, we have a battle of good versus evil, if you will. You have a battle of your spiritual side versus the flesh, and kind of like the little devil and the angels, one on each shoulder, you know, and we've all seen the comic strips of that. But that is going on in your Christian life. You know, you got the Lord's telling you, hey, you need to do right. Hey, get up and serve God today. Hey, go to church today. Hey, be a witness to that person on the other side. You got, you know, don't worry about it. You're tired. You worked a lot. You did all these different things. Don't go there. Don't serve me here. Don't do that. There's a spiritual battle taking place in our lives. There's a spiritual battle, whether we know it or not, that is taking place. And as I said, as we gather together and we come together in this church and we unify, why? To get encouraged and say, you know what, we're gonna get stronger together. We're going to fight the Philistines together. We're going to go out and we're going to try to help these kids get saved. We're going to go out and try to help them and teach them, hey, this is how it is to serve the Lord. Hey, here's how important it is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You can imagine here as they're sitting here, they're getting ready for battle. There's Eleazar, the son of Dodo. There's the other guys, and David's there with them. And you can imagine the battle's about to take place. So you would think that the nation of Israel, standing behind the three mighty men, they're ready to fight and they're ready to go. And hey, yeah, we're ready to fight for our God and fight for our king and fight for our commander and fight for all these people. And we get to verse number 9. It says, and they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And look what it says. And the men of Israel were gone away. What a sad statement. Here these men are ready to fight. They're saying, hey, all right, guys, here we go. We're going to take them down. We got God on our side. And they go, here goes the battle. And they turn around and where did everybody go? Where is everybody? We got a battle to fight. There's a war happening here. Where'd everybody go? You know, you look around in churches today, and you look around in Christianity today, and you look around and you say, where did everybody go? Well, there's a battle to fight. There's a war to fight. Hey, we got to come together. So often today, there's so many folks falling out of church, not fighting anymore. And the problem is they're not willing to fight anymore. When we start to say, I'm going to do it my way, I can do things my own way, and I'm going to do it this way, and I don't need church, and I don't need God, and I don't need all that stuff. I'll do it my way. Can I say Eleazar didn't have that attitude? He said, here, look what he said in verse number 10. Here he turned around in verse 9, he turned around and said, hey, where'd everybody go? They were all gone away. And we get to verse number 10. It says, and he arose and smote the Philistines. Amen. That smote word means to slay, to kill, to fight. He said, I don't care who's fighting. I don't care who's going here. I don't care who's doing this. I don't care who's doing that. I don't care if they've all gone away. I'm going to fight for my God. Can I say we need to have that attitude? I don't care who's fighting, but I'm going to fight. I know there's a lot of people who died for our country that said, I don't care who's around. I'm going to fight for our country. There's that man hurting on the battlefield. I'm going to run out. I don't care if no one else is going to run out and help that man laying there wounded on the battlefield, but I'm going to. I'm thankful for those men that did that and ladies that did that, that fought for our country. Can I say in Christianity, we need to have that same attitude? I don't care that no one else is doing this or doing that. I'm going to do it because it's right. I'm going to do it because God said I should do it. Here we get in verse number 9. Or verse number 10, he arose and smote the Philistines and how he was fighting. And he didn't say, he said, I don't care who's here, but I'm going to fight. And can I say, we need to fight for the Lord by, number one, being a witness. Folks, when we got saved, we did not get saved to be robots. We did not get saved to come to church and just sit in church. We got saved to be a witness. When we got saved, we're supposed to go out and spread the gospel. Give the gospel. Be the light, like I said earlier, we talked about in Sunday school. Be a light in a dark world. There's people that are lost. They're on their way to hell. You're saved. You have God in you. You have Jesus. You're saved. You can go out and be that light. Go out and fight. Don't give up. I know, but this person, they're not in church anymore, and they kind of don't come to church anymore, and that person isn't really serving God anymore. I don't care. Serve the Lord. Fight. Don't give up. You don't think in the last days more people are dropping off? Why? Because the devil's working as hard as he can. He knows that time is coming when that trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be caught up with Jesus in the air. Folks, it's time to fight. And here we find out that Eleazar, the son of Dodo, he looked around. He said, I'm going to fight for my God. Can I say we can fight for our Lord by, number one, witnessing? Number two, we fight for our Lord, fight for God by fighting for our youth. As I've said before, our youth, they're coming up today, and they're hit with so many more things that even I was hit with when I was younger, but especially those who are a little bit more mature than me, like that wording, mature, a little more mature than me. When they were didn't fight these kind of things. The devil has things where, man, they're constantly bombarded with temptation. Devil has it where we're constantly bombarded with temptation. But we got to fight for our youth, as I said. If we don't raise them up, if we don't teach them the difference from right from wrong, can I say the public school is not going to teach them that. We need to do it. We need to fight for our kids. We need to fight that, hey, this is important. We need to stay in the battle. Don't give up. We need to fight for our Lord. We can fight for him by witnessing. We can fight for our youth. We can fight against temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. I like that. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So many folks today are falling out because of temptation. There's so many different things that can make us fall out. So many different things that can make us give up on God. So many different things that can make us quit going to church, quit being faithful. You know, the devil's good at that. We think we're strong, but let me tell you, the devil's had a lot more experience. We've only had years of experience. He's got thousands, amen? No, there's nothing new to him. It's an easy game to him. But we think we got it figured out. And I like to hunt, and when I was hunting down in Florida, we used to trap hogs, wild boar. And what you do, you have a big steel cage, right? And on the inside, you had a little trap door, and what you do is you'd throw a bunch of corn inside of the cage. But to get them to go in there, to make it a little bit more enticing, what you do is you would drip the corn, put a little trail of corn leading out of the trap door to the outside of the trap. Right? So when the hog came along and he came there and he said, oh, wow, this is pretty good. Oh, wow, look where it leads, right to a big dinner. Woo! He didn't know he was going to be dinner. So that was the trick. But he was leading to that dinner, and he said, wow, what a blessing. Look what I got here. I got this trail leading to this big meal, and I'm going to be all full, and I'm going to be all set. And then they go inside to get that present at the end of that trail, and all of a sudden, boom, they hit the wire, and the door closes, and they can't get out. You know what the devil tries to do? Puts a little corn on the outside of the cage. Puts a little bit here, and it isn't so bad at the beginning. It isn't so, the first couple times, it's not so bad. But I'm not trapped here, and I'm doing okay, and I got it under control. I'm all set. But you know what happens? Get a little further, a little further, a little further. The door goes down. You can't get out. Folks, we need more people to fight. We need more people to fight against the temptation. The devil wants to do nothing more than to destroy your life and destroy. You know what he does? He tries to get the daddies and the mommies. You know why you know why the devil's fighting you so hard? You know why there's so much temptation coming in our lives? Because if we mess up, then they can mess up. Amen? If we mess up, then you know what? Then our kids might be messed up, and their grandkids might be messed up. So the devil's trying overtime to get us to not fight against temptation. Oh, it's just a little bit of corn. Folks, we got to be careful of that. We got to watch that. We have to keep a watchful eye. So here we have Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Here he's fighting. He said, I don't care who's with me. I'm going to do right. I'm going to fight. And here he arose. He smote the Philistines in verse 10. And look what it says, until his hand was weary. Can I say even good warriors get tired sometimes? Even good godly people get tired, get worn out. And can I say there's nothing wrong with being tired? We all get tired. It happens. The problem is when we quit. The problem is when we give up. And here he's fighting for his God. And can I say we need more people that aren't willing to quit and continue playing the game and continue fighting for our God. And we think of, if you ever played with a child or even an adult, I guess it'd be pretty sad, but you ever play with an adult, right? Let's say you're shooting hoops and you're shooting there and all of a sudden, my wife's bad at this. You know, you can't play Monopoly with her because if you play Monopoly and you start to get too far ahead, she'll quit. Like, no, you can't quit. You can't do that. Anyway, I won't use her as an example. Never mind. I got to go home with her. But say you're playing basketball in a game, right? And you're shooting hoops or whatever, and I'm pulling ahead, and my son's playing with me, and I'm pulling ahead and pulling ahead. By the time you realize I'm so far ahead, he knows he's not going to win. What do a lot of people do? Not my wife, though. What do a lot of people do? They quit. I have no chance of winning. I'm going to quit. I give up. And you know what I normally say if what do you mean you quit? You can't quit. You got to finish the game. No one likes a quitter, right? I love my wife. Nobody likes a quitter. Amen? But sir, no one likes people, and I'm just kidding about my wife, but nobody likes a quitter. And I'll say to my, hey, you can't quit. You got to finish the game. I mean, whether you lose, whether you win, you got to finish the game. Can I say we as believers, you got to finish the game? Some believers feel like, you know what, I'm so far behind, and you know, it feels like we're losing this battle right now. But hey, let me tell you something, church. I read the book, We Win. We need more people to fight. We need more people that say, well, I'm not going to quit. Yeah, we know the devil's working overtime. We know the devil's trying to get everyone to quit, get anybody he can to fall off the wagon, but we're not going to. Here, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, verse number 10. He arose, he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. So many people today are growing weary and giving up. There's a song I like to sing entitled Just One More Soul. I'll sing a little bit for you, but it says, the preachers are weary, the singers are tired, the church as we know it is losing its fire. Some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine to keep pressing on. Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. It's worth it, folks. It's worth it. We might be tired. We might grow weary. Oh, here's Eliezer. He's fighting the battle. He said, I don't care who's fighting with me, but I'm going to fight. And I don't care who's around me, but I'm fighting my God, and I'm going to do what's right. And his hand was growing weary. And look what it says in verse 10. And his hand clave unto the sword. He said, I'm not throwing down my sword. I'm not giving up. Can I say we need more people today that won't stop throwing their sword down? Amen. Folks, we got the sword. We got the fighting tool. We got what it takes to fight against the wiles of the devil. We got what it takes to fight against the world today, defy the Philistines. But you know what a lot of people, the Christians, are doing today? They're throwing it down and saying, I got it. Folks, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. Which one is it? Here, Eliezer is fighting. He said, I'm going to hold on to my sword. Can I say we need to hold on to that sword? We need to clave unto that sword. And you know what happens if we do? Look at verse number 10. He rose and smote the Philistines. His hand was weary. Clave unto his sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. You want victory in your life? Stop doing it your way. Start doing it God's way. Start wanting to get victory in your life? Start picking up that sword where you left it. You might have dropped it over here, but go pick it up. And you know what's going to happen? I'll tell you this, and I promise you, this it wasn't in my notes, but I promise you what happens here, especially at this church that where a lot of people have filled in, a lot of people are jumping into roles that they haven't been in, and people are serving in places they haven't been in or serving in greater capacity that they've ever served in. Let me tell you what will happen, and you can write this down, I promise you, right from the Word of God. It's going to happen whenever you make a move for God. Whenever you start serving God in a greater capacity, the devil's coming for you. He's going to bring something in. He's going to try you in something. There's going to be some discouragement that'll come into your life in the next, whatever it might be, to try to get you to quit. I promise you it'll happen. You know why the devil doesn't, mess with folks that Christians that are out of church and they're not serving God? He's already got them. There's nothing to fight with them. They're not serving. They're not battling. They're not fighting. Let me tell you, when you start fighting for God, when you start serving God in a greater capacity, he's going to come and he's going to try to get you down. You might turn around and say, why am I doing this? There's nobody else helping me. Keep fighting. Keep serving. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Don't give up. Why? Because the Lord will bring a great victory in your life. Did you hear what I said? God will bring the victory into your life, not us. It's God who works through us. Here he brought a great victory in his life that day. Why? Because he held on to the sword. He didn't give up. And you would think, for just a moment, and I'll be done, you would think that the rest of the nation of Israel would have been excited. You would think that they would have said, even though they would think they'd come back and say, wow, you got the victory that day. Wow, praise the Lord, you did it. Hey, let's get back to what we should have been doing. Look what happens. Verse number 10, the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. They came back and they started complaining. They came back and they're unhappy with what happened. They started back and complaining and doing different things. We talked about that this morning a little bit in Sunday school. But let me tell you, the good example I can give is kind of like, there's nothing wrong with buying a child a car or a vehicle, you know, when they turn of age. But you know what happens when that child has to work for something? They appreciate it, don't they? Right? They'll make sure the oil's changed. They'll make sure when the check engine light comes on, oh, I better check out what that is. Right? Why? Because they worked for it. You appreciate something more when you work for it. But things are given to you, you don't appreciate it very much. Here the nation of Israel came back, had nothing to do with this victory, didn't fight, they gave up, they quit. And they came back just to complain. You know why? Because they didn't have any part of it. They weren't in that victory. They didn't fight for it. They didn't earn that, if you will. Folks, there's so much greater joy sticking in the battle. There's so much greater victory in your life by sticking in there and fighting for God. I'm not giving up. I don't care who does. I'm not going to give up. Here, they have a great victory in their life that day. Maybe this morning, you haven't joined the Lord's army yet. What do you say? What do you mean by that? Well, one day I got on my knees. That was November 17th, 1991. 2000. I'm a lot older than that. November 17th, 1991. I got down on my knees in Prairie Baptist Church over in Westland, Michigan, and asked Jesus to come into my heart. The moment I did that, I became a child of God. I joined the army. Hey, sir, what would you have me to do today? Yes, sir, what do I have to do today? Where would you like to put me? What would you like me to do? Can I ask that we need to have that attitude? If you're lost here today, you've never joined that army. Folks, the Bible says if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you're not in the army. You're not a child of God. And one day you'll stand before God and you can say, yeah, but I went to church every time the doors were open. Yeah, but I prayed three times a day. Yeah, but I gave money to the church. And he'll say, did you accept Christ as your Savior? No, sir. Won't be enough. Will you join the army today? Will you get in the battle? Maybe you're here today and you're saved. Maybe you got it all worked out. Can I say, maybe the devil's been trying to get you to quit. Maybe the devil's been trying to bring some things into your life. Got a little bit of corn laid out there. Just want to get taken care of. I promise you, the devil always tries to show up and try to discourage people when they start doing right. When they start doing things for God. I promise you it'll happen. We have to defy the Philistines. We got to defy the devil. Say, no, I'm serving my God. And I don't care who's around me. But I'm going to serve him the right way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. And Lord God, we just pray that there might be some here today that are lost and undone. And Lord, I pray that maybe they haven't joined the king's army yet, the Lord's army. Lord, I pray that they would today walk down the aisle. And Lord, that they would come down and say, I want to join the army today. I want to join and be a child of God. Lord, I pray that their heart would be moved today. Lord, I've seen so many people that have sat in pews and had conviction of the Holy Ghost on their life, and they just say, no, another day. Lord, as we hear about accidents and things going on and crazy things and people getting blown up, Lord, we don't know if we have another day. Lord, we have to make today matter. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, there might be some here who the devil's trying to discourage. Might want to come down and pray, Lord, give me some encouragement. Help me not to quit. Help me to fight. We know that devil's not going to stop trying to get us to quit, but Lord, help us to keep fighting, keep serving, and keep doing everything you can for you. Lord, be with us in this invitation. Work your way and will as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With Andrew.
Let's all stand and sing a hymn of invitation, page number 449, Take My Life and Let It Be.